Hey, thanks for tuning back into the Dames and Hang podcast. We have Dr. John Jaquish. Is that how, am I pronouncing it correctly?
I'm glad you're asking me. Yeah. There's a lot of people just like completely butcher, and I'm just sitting here like, normal, it's fine, continue.
Yeah, so
in fact, my website is drj.com, D-O-C-T-O-R, the letter J.com. Because my other website is Jaquish Biomedical, but people, they can never remember how to spell my last name. And it's, I don't know. I think it's how it sounds, but nobody else agrees with me. Yeah. So it's just like drj.com. Go to there. Yeah.
Cool. So you're a scientist, an inventor, best-selling author, and you've spent years researching and developing improved approaches to health. And you've also, you're the inventor of the most effective bone density building medical technology, and you partner with Tony Robbins and OsteoStrong for rapid clinic deployment.
Yep.
And you have a book called Weightlifting is a Waste of Time.
Wall Street Journal bestseller, which is actually based on sales. Most people like the just so you know, forevermore, everybody who's listening, the New York Times list has nothing to do with book sales. It has to do with the staff at the New York Times just handpicking books that they like, which is, I mean, a third grade class could do that too. And my publicist told me, since you're a straight white male, you will never get on that list, because now all that they care about is like social justice. Since I guess, according to them, all straight white males are the source of social injustice.
I love that.
What I'm told. I've never heard anyone, but you know, whatever. I hear that. And I get it. It's like they're riding a political wave, and you know, that's what people are interested in reading and endlessly talking about now. So it's like, all right, dude, like, forget that list. So, you know, we had calls with New York Times, and we're like, yeah, we're not even sending you books.
Bye. Yeah.
But we got into the Wall Street Journal guys, but it didn't really matter, because even like we talked to Wall Street Journal people, it didn't matter. Like, as soon as it was the number one book in America, it was just on their list. They didn't even need to talk to me. Really cool. That's the contest I'd like to win. It's like the guy who gets, you know, who does the best gets the trophy. That would actually make sense. Seemingly not how the world wants to work anymore.
But, right. Interesting. Yeah. So I've gone to a lot of Tony Robbins events and all that. He's into human performance, peak performance. Like, how did you two first get acquainted with each other?
The guy just called me. It was out of the blue. And it was funny because one of his coaches was somebody I helped a lot, and the guy couldn't walk. And, you know, I helped him walk again. And like, I didn't really know how dire that guy's situation was. You know, he came in and he's like, I can't walk. He had a walker. And I used to be a golfer. And I was like, well, just show me what you can do, and, you know, we'll go from there. And about 6 months later, the guy was playing 18 holes a day, and he was walking just fine. He was in chronic pain, and he had brutal, like, just weakness from 20 years of chronic pain, just not moving, not activating the body. And so X3 and you know, at the time it was the beginning of OsteoStrong technology was able to activate the body to a much higher degree with much lower risk of injury and much less stress on the joints, and so he was able to use it and then reactivate his muscles. So there's a neurological change, and then there's a growth change. He had some hypertrophy, put on about 20 pounds of muscle really quickly, lost a bunch of fat. And then Tony sees him. He says, what the hell happened to you, man? I thought you couldn't walk anymore. And so they went and played golf together. And so once this guy told Tony about what had happened, then Tony calls me and he says, hey, you know, I want one of your prototypes. And I didn't know who it was. It was just some guy who said it was Tony, but the voice sounded familiar. So I'm like, okay, Tony, well, you know, these prototypes are like $300,000 a piece because they're prototypes. They're one-offs. He goes, okay, I'll pay you $300,000 for one. And I'm like, What's this again? This is, he laughs because this is Tony Robbins. Okay. Yeah. Now it makes sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, the first bone density prototype I got down there and, you know, of course, Tony was one of the first ones to use X3. And yeah. Yeah. But you know, while Tony's interesting, the most interesting users of X3 are the professional athletes because they're drug tested. You know what you're seeing is what they actually do as a result of what they actually just exercise and nutrition. And we got 19 NFL players and about 20 other athletes. NBA, the NBA likes it. The Miami Heat endorsed the book. Endorsements right there on the back. And pro teams almost never let you use their name.
Right.
So I had special permission from the lawyers of the Miami Heat. But, you know, the coaches were so grateful and happy, and they were just cool. And, you know, it really helped their players play a better game, reduce injuries, have more dense muscle, increase the thickness of tendons and ligaments, which the product does. And, you know, ultimately X3, I'm speaking of now, it's super portable. You take it anywhere you go. I used to fly 200,000 miles a year and I never went anywhere without my X3. Now, people would see me they see me in mainland China, like inner China. You know, I'd bump into somebody and be like, wow, yeah, you're here. They're like, you didn't bring your X3 with you. And I'm like, does Thor travel without his hammer? Yeah. I have these great pictures of me working out in different crazy places in the world. I'm like the lawn gnome, what's that movie, Amelie? You know, where she steals her dad's lawn gnome and then gives it to a group of flight attendants. And they're taking pictures of this gnome everywhere in the world. And the dad is and then mailing him postcards. And the dad the whole time is like, why did somebody steal my lawn gnome and then take it all over the world and send me pictures?
Yeah.
So I'm like the gnome, but I'm much better. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I feel like, so the NBA and NFL, why do you think so many people are stuck in the old ways of just outworking themselves like normal weightlifting? Why is there less of a focus on pliability and all that?
Listening to Tom Brady,
Yeah, I have his book.
He uses that word all him and Alex. I always say pliability.
Yeah.
I don't use that word. all people do this. Everybody wants to imagine they have all the answers. Life's easier that way. Wouldn't it be better if you had nothing else to learn and you were just, the master of everything in front of you? But, that shit's not the truth. Most people don't know what the hell they're doing. Most people have very little understanding, even of the things they do. So, why strength training? My question is, let's take a step back and look at the industry in general. Let's look at people who engage in fitness. And this is a point that I'm heavily trolled for this, but it's okay because, when you're an industry innovator, people get mad, but it's because people are, losing money based on what I'm doing. And they are. A lot of gyms, people are like, oh, I got an X3, so I don't need to come back to the gym. And so all my hater videos, it's gym owners and personal trainers who feel offended that they've lost business. So okay, I get that, but whining about it isn't going to help you. Yeah. So they can whine anyway. So what was the question?
I'm curious as to, I think you answered it right. It's a multiples of billion-dollar industry. So,
just the industry. No, I did not answer this question. Fitness is the most failed human endeavor. I dare anybody to come up with something else that people have done worse at. Now, if you look at who's really fit, now fit can be defined by percentage body fat because that considers muscularity and how much fat you carry around. The best 1% of males in the United States are 10.6% body fat. That's pathetic. That's the best 1%. That's maybe you can see your top two abdominals. It's just you wouldn't, if you saw somebody 10.6% body fat, they would never be in photographed to model men's clothing or anything.
Yeah.
They'd be just kind of a regular guy.
It would look normal.
So the best 1% look like regular guys. Yeah, my point is, like, it doesn't matter how you define what really fit is. Is it looking like a bodybuilder? Probably not. That's an extreme. But my point is, there are people who've been going to a gym or gyms for 5, 10 years, and they have received nothing, no changes. They're still weak. They're still fat. Like, nothing happens. And this is pretty much the whole industry. Now, I explain in the book why there are certain people who have different genetics, so that almost seemingly no matter what they do, you know, they can row a boat and all of a sudden they look like a bodybuilder. You know, just grow crazy muscle. And it's like, well, how come that guy isn't even trying and he's growing muscle? And, you know, here we have another guy who's going to the gym day after day, week after week, and he's not seeing anything. And so I explain the genetics. Like, oh, most of it has to do with tendon insertion points. So, like, my pectoral tendons, you know, like the pectoral inserts right here on the sternum, and then it attaches to this bone, the humerus, right? So it attaches normally about right here at the top of the humerus, but some people have a mutation, so it attaches down here. And they have more leverage. They have more leverage on that bone. They can activate more muscle when they're in the weaker position. These are the people that end up in the NFL. But so what we really have with regular people who don't have that mutation is a significant difference between weak to strong range. But when you train with the proper proportion of variable resistance, that genetic factor does not matter at all. And you can grow just as much muscle as the NFL player. And like I said, I love the NFL players because they're drug tested. So you look at an NFL guy and you know, strong, fast, healthy, that's what you can do. Like the bodybuilders, yeah, everybody knows there's drugs there, and there's diuretics, and there's all kinds of crazy great lighting that they're under all the time, which, you know, it's like people are like, why can't I ever seem to look anything like that? Yeah, they don't even look like that.
Right.
It's very much a sport of illusions. You know, they all know how to, like, pivot their waist a little bit to make their waist look a little smaller. But that's the sport. That's fine. Right. That's what they do. Their job is to show the human body in the most aesthetically pleasing way. So people are just like mind blown. And they are, which is why it's a popular sport. I'm not bashing the sport at all, but I'm just saying what you see in a lot of those pictures, that's not a performance athlete. When you look at an NFL player, you know, bodybuilders dehydrate before their shows.
Yeah.
But an NFL player is not dehydrated when he shows up to a game.
Yeah.
When they take his shirt off on the sidelines and they're fit, it's like, okay, dude's really fit. He didn't just, like, cut water.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. And so what makes, like, for instance, like a more innovative, like a Miami Heat, like, do you think that eventually, because I do think there's people who are more open to trying new things. And like you said, most people are doing what was, you know, decades ago, what worked decades ago. I mean, it's still mind blowing to me why it's taking so long for people to realize it doesn't work.
All new innovations. I forgot who said this. It was like a philosopher, famous guy. He said, everything new is first ridiculed, then violently opposed, then accepted as normal. So like in 10 years, everybody will be training with X3 and people will be laughing. We're like, remember when people used to lift weights? Like,
yeah.
Well, that didn't make any sense. And by the way, anybody who's listening, the problem with lifting weights is whatever weight you pick, that's what you can handle in the weaker part of the movement. By definition, you pick a weight, you can handle it in the weakest part. The problem is you have 7 times greater capability in the strongest part of the movement by comparison. So most of the time you're lifting, you're not doing shit because only in the weakest range is it really difficult. And what do we know about the weakest range? Well, that's also where the joints get injured the most. So you're maximizing joint injury and minimizing growth. That's what standard training does. So now what we need is a weight that changes as we move so that it accurately and repeatably exhausts all ranges of motion in accordance to what their output capacity is. So like when I do a chest press, when I'm here, I'm seven times stronger than I am right here. So I want a much higher weight here, maybe not sevenfold, because that's almost like a one rep maximum sort of number. So let's say when I do chest press, I hold 550 pounds out in front of me. And then as I lower the bar, it becomes 300 pounds. And then when it gets right up against my chest, it's 100 pounds. And then I do however many repetitions I can do until I can't get to that 550. So that's normally like 20 repetitions. And then I do four or five repetitions with the middle weight with 300. And then I do a couple 100 pound reps because I can barely move.
Man,
very fun. It's total exhaustion of the muscle.
It's just, I still don't understand how still like 90% of the NBA and NFL still do the traditional weightlifting, right? It seems like.
Well, this is still new. And the coaches for the Miami Heat, they're brilliant. Like their strength coach is, he's in the strength coaching Hall of Fame. So now also keep in mind, these are people like the people I mentioned are people that have given me their written permission to use their name and likeness.
Right.
Right. So they're just cool. You know, like I didn't pay them anything. They just, you know, I give them personalized help. Like when they have a question about their, what to do with their X3, or they feel like they plateaued or something like that, or, you know, their nutrition question, they'll just call me. They all have my number. They can call me and ask me. So that's the only thing I'm given in exchange. And so like there's some other athletes that use it that I found out about like through other people, but you know, they don't like, I don't have written permission from them. And some of them I've asked and they just kind of ignored it. Cause you know, honestly, like some of the people we're talking about, like, I mean, they would ask for $1 million.
Right, you know, right.
Like right out of the gate. Like, yeah, this is $1 million. Like, you know, anything I'm going to put my name on, it's going to be $1 million minimum. So, and also, I don't really think much about purchased testimonials, because what does that mean? You know, like, does anybody think Under Armour is really better because Dwayne Johnson uses it, is paid to use it? No.
Right.
I mean, they might see him in it and be like, maybe I'll look that big and strong if I put on an Under Armour shirt.
I'm right.
Out there that thinks that. Well, okay. But I just don't think it means very much.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I had the innovator's dilemma, I think, is the terminology for that. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sucks to be the first, right, in anything. Cause like you said, people are really set in their old ways and people have. Maybe.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Like since you said that, you know, this is the second time, like first I did my bone density medical device and I had to argue with physicians from all over the world, like, and professors from, you know, orthopedic departments and medical school professors, they were like, I don't know about this. And so I had a debate with them on many different stages around the world. That's part of why I was flying 200,000 miles a year for a long time. But once they would, at the beginning, I didn't have any research and I was just talking about it in theory. And like, I would always present with my like weaknesses first. I'll say, here are the limitations of the data I'm going to show you. It wasn't collected, you know, in this regard. Like, you know, so once you tell somebody about the limitations, it's a great way to present science. Because then after you present the limitations, everybody's like, well, okay. What did you find? And then you go into that. So like you disarm them right away. They have nothing to complain about because you already mentioned everything they were getting ready to complain about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, and yeah, it's just a straight up way to present, you know, scientific material. And then, you know, I'd show them the science and then they would tell me what I was missing. So then I come back, you know, the next year and speak again. But I had published science at that point. And then the year after that, so I've been to World Congress on Osteoporosis four times. And you know, now I have a body of literature that is acceptable to most physicians. And they read the literature, and once you show them the evidence, they're like, this is great. I will have my patients do this. Then I came up with a fitness product, and I was warned by other scientists, don't try and make a scientific argument to fitness people. And I said, why not? Because fitness people are stupid. And I was like, they're not all stupid. And they're like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. Like the dumbest people in the world, you wouldn't believe.
Right.
And like, I'm just trying to like devil's advocate. What? I mean, maybe some of them, you know, like obviously the ones on bodybuilding.com. Did you ever read that forum? Like there was a thread there that there was a guy who was convinced there was 8 days in a week. Like absolutely convinced.
Right. Like, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Like training split was based on 8 days. And it's like, this is what I do every week. And people were like, but that's more than a week. And he's like,
right.
You know, like wanting to fight him and stuff. Like it was like these people, I don't know who ties their shoes for him in the morning. They're real. But what I ended up realizing was that this is correct. And, you know, I think fitness, there's no barriers to entry to fitness. It's not like scuba diving, where you got to spend, you know, $10,000 to get like certified and know what the hell you're doing.
Yeah.
You can just buy a $9 gym membership and, you know, read your brother's Flex magazine, which is an abomination of literature, you know, and then just show up and then just start doing stuff. Look at the other guy. What is he doing?
Right.
So like the barrier to entry is really low. And, you know, maybe there's some psychological things in there where a lot of people are attracted to fitness. You know, like the joke was like they're making up for some inadequacy, which I think being healthy is great and everybody should go for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, when sometimes I hear that psychological argument, I'm like, yeah, I think I've met those guys. Like, they're not too bright, but boy, they're going to be bigger and stronger than everybody else. Right. So, there's a lot of pushback. Now the athletes, like I said, between the athletes that have given me their written permission to use their endorsement and the athletes that use it that I'm not allowed to mention because I don't have their written permission, there's a lot. And like I don't even know how many, and there's more every day. In fact, like sometimes I see on like just the sales role, like it just scrolls by somebody's screen who's down the hall from me. And like every once in a while, I'll be like, you know, look at a name and I'll be like, really? You know, I look at the address and it's like, yep, that's where that dude lives. Okay. But, you know, again, I can't say anything.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried. People are picking up on this and I am fully convinced this will be what strength training looks like, you know, 10 years from now. What we're doing right now for strength, what's considered standard strength training, will be a joke.
Mm. Well, I do appreciate you coming on the podcast. This has been really informative, and invite you all. I'll link to your book, and I really enjoyed you being
linked to my landing page. The one okay. So you can get to the book, you can get to X3.
Yeah, I have your landing page.
Nutrition
as well.
Product, like I take a bacterial fermentation. Which is like it's like okay for vegans because it's just bacteria. Like that is the most efficient protein in the world. It is such a shortcut. Links to my Instagram. I put most of my content on Instagram.
Yeah,
like the platform. Yeah. So like it links to everything. So my landing page is drj.com. DOCTOR the letter J.com.
Okay, cool. I'll link it. Well, thanks so much. And it was really nice having you on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers.